And so why don't you tell us how the Humane Society of the United States thinks about the pet, you know, you've done a wonderful job in addressing the pet overpopulation, and you do address so many issues. So tell us where the Humane Society of the United States stands on AB 1634.
Well, we're a supporter of that. We've been supporting sterilization programs for years. And in fact, your listeners may not know this, but in fact, the pet overpopulation problem has been greatly alleviated over the past 30 years. As we used to euthanize about 20% of the dogs and cats in people's homes every year in shelters. We now only, that figure is now down to 3%. So it's been a tremendous improvement, but that doesn't mean to say that we don't still have problems. We still do need to address the remaining healthy dogs and cats that are euthanized every year. And so that's why we are supporting the Healthy Pets Act and would like to see it passed.
Yeah, thank you so much, certainly. And why don't we bring Judy online here, and she's going to join us here. And why don't you stay online, Andrew, if you don't mind.
Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Judy. How are you doing?
Good.
Oh, and we lost Andrew.
Oh, no.
Oh, well, maybe he'll call back.
I was wondering, Andrew just quoted a 3% euthanasia rate. Where was that? I missed it. I couldn't hear.
Oh, I think he meant nationwide compared to 30 years ago.
Oh, that it dropped 3%?
Well, it was 30 years ago. We were euthanizing 20% of the adoptable animals in the U.S.,
I don't know. I have to ask him about those statistics. In the state of California, you know, we're well over 50% and pretty much at a consistent 61% in the past 10 years of euthanizing the animals. So I don't know.
Yeah, just, well, we'll have to look at the, if he calls back in on the analysis
that
on that.
Me back because I can't imagine that that's the case when people have kill rates in their communities. You know, anywhere from 60% to 90% is very common, especially with the folks that I've been talking to in the last year. So, anyway.
Yeah. Well, Judy, why don't you introduce yourself, and then we can get into that. And I think he's calling back. We're going to keep him online this time. And that way people will give your background, because you have a really impressive background and how you came into this. And then we can chat back and forth if he does come back online on and those and have that conversation.
Well, I don't know that my background is very all that impressive. I mean, I was an IT manager for 23 years doing project management and information technology, but my love has been for the animals for forever since I was a kid, but definitely in the 90s, late 80s, beginning of the 90s, I, you know, start getting involved in animal rescue and understanding the impacts of, you know, everything that we do, as you were talking about food, everything else, and also what's happening to the animals. And one of the plights that they have is this whole unwanted, so many unwanted animals and ending up in the shelters and getting killed just because we don't have enough homes for them. And there's just too many animals, you know, running around unaltered and creating this overpopulation and overbreeding and everything else that goes into it. So I always wanted to do something about that, you know, whatever I could. I didn't know what it was for a long time. It's been about 17 years that I've been thinking about it and knew about this shelter situation. And then I got into legislation, got out of the IT world and start doing advocacy full-time for the environment and the animals. And finally, you know, with the experience that I've gained over time with legislation and how to do things right and, you know, different approaches to take that would be successful, that finally, you know, we've come around to AB 1634 and we got a great bill and we've got great sponsors and supporters. It's just been an amazing
And more and more people are coming on board, and this is great. So before we get Andrew online, I'd like to say, tell us about who's come on board to support this bill so far.
Well, I mean, in the last couple of days, what's really been exciting is Western University, which is the only vet university in Southern California. And they have written a letter of support, and that is just so exciting. And then also, most recently, we've been getting a lot of police departments signing up. But the base of the support, at least as far as the coalition, is animal control and veterinarians and animal advocates like myself. And our sponsors are California Animal Control Directors Association, which is CACDA, and then State Humane Association of California, which is SHAC, and then also CVMA, California Veterinary Medical Association, and also the City of Los Angeles.
And then we have Madera County, Stanislaus.
Yeah, they've been active in participating in crafting the language, but as far as their supporters, not official sponsors, it's just, you know, technical difference in the legislature when, you know, who's the author, who's the sponsor. And, of course, our author is Assemblymember Loy Levine, who's been just a great champion for the animals.
And our listeners have had a wonderful opportunity to hear him speak on the show here in the last 6 months. So, yeah, it's great. I was so excited to hear when he first said, yeah, we're going to be working on a bill. And I'm going, oh, this is great. This is great. So finally we have this going. And all of a sudden I hear something, you know, in the news story. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. So, yeah, it's great. So you have, and when you look at the website, and Judy, tell everyone what the website is.
It's www.cahealthypets.com. And then recently, we've had a lot of supporters who actually come from the dog and cat breeding world, and they have not felt totally comfortable coming out to their fellow breeders about being on our side. And so we've given them a forum and other supporters a forum by having a site that's more supporter blogs and tidbits, and that is www.ab1634.org, O-R-G. So we have two websites now. And the latest thing on our website on cahealthypets.com is a video done by Sandra Moore and Jane Velez Mitchell. And a lot of people will remember Jane Velez Mitchell was on our local news here for many, many years, pretty famous in the area, journalist, broadcaster, and they're both big animal lovers, and they just produced a video that's on YouTube and on our site, which is just amazing, and I would ask everyone to come and view it.
Oh, that'd be great. And I have to check out the AB1634.org site. And
you can submit a blog for us to put out there for you as well,
oh,
please.
Great. Oh, great. Yeah. Great. And so we have some exciting things happening. We have some mobilization happening. And before we get into that, Andrew's on the line. I don't want to forget. He's been so patient here in this 7 minutes. So, hi, Andrew. Are you there? Hello? Andrew?
Yes,
Hi, Andrew. Thank you so much for calling back. And sorry you got disconnected. Judy's here. And before we engage in the rest of what AB 1634, she had some questions for you. You know, when you do give these percentages, she wants to ask you some more detailed questions about those.
Happy to.
Yeah, the 3%, where did that one come from?
Well, there are about 130 million dogs and cats, maybe more depending on whose surveys you believe, and we're euthanizing around about 4 million dogs and cats in shelters today. So that's around about 3%.
Oh, I see. You're saying the animals that are in people's homes, not the ones that come into the shelters.
No, that's right. The shelter euthanasia is about 50-60%.
There we go. Whew. Okay.
What I was referring to was that 30 years ago, we were euthanizing about 20% of the pets in people's homes and shelters.
So I see. Okay, thank you for clarifying.
We've made a lot of progress, but we still have more to go.
Oh, there's so much more to go, and it's been heartbreaking for me talking to the different directors and volunteers and shelters throughout California and learning just how bad things really are. I mean, you know, I've been to shelters who their adoption is very high, the euthanasia is low. They are just one in a million. There are so many people out there that are sitting. I mean, this is hard to believe, but at 90% kill rate. And it just breaks my heart, you know. And 70% is the norm. When you talk to most people in the state, they're at 70%. And, yeah. You know, that's better from where they were because they, you know, have more people pulling from the shelter and they're in people's homes fostering and whatnot. So anyway.
Well, I mean, it's a really heartening that the CVMA is supporting the bill. I mean, I think that's a sign of the times because 30 years ago, the veterinary profession wasn't on side in this issue.
You're right, and they haven't been for forever. And I think that it's a new generation that is at CVMA. And you know, the one thing that I've heard from all the vets is they didn't go to vet school to kill animals. You know, they went to vet school to make animals well. And so to be out there euthanizing these happy, healthy animals just because they don't have a home, you know, that's got to be the hardest work, and how can we even ask anyone to do that for us?
Well, it's exactly right, and euthanasia is the big, big issue for everybody in both shelters and in veterinary hospitals. It's something that everybody dreads and hates, and, you know, especially if the animal is healthy, that's when it really gets hard.
That's not the right answer. And some shelters, such as Los Angeles City, there's been openings for, and this was in the LA Times, there was a big article they did on it, but I believe they were, you know, trying to recruit up to like 17 vets and having a hard time dealing with that, you know, that people just didn't want to come to work for a shelter with that has such issues, so, which is most all around, you know, it is the entire state. So you know, we hope that in time with spay and neuter becoming more of a way of life for people, that, you know, it's kind of like when you get your car and you go get your license, and with animals, you get your animal and you go get a dog license, that now along with that license comes a spay and neuter. And, you know, people have been saying, oh, we're going to run out of dogs and cats, you know, and it's like, are you kidding me? Not in our lifetime, you know. And our bill does, you know, have many exemptions, obviously. There's need for exemptions. So there's still going to be unaltered animals and accidental breeding, and there's not going to be full compliance, unfortunately. There never is with any law. So,
and we're only talking about California. I mean, it's you have these other states that are worse off. Look at Katrina. They're still having issues in New Orleans about the animals.
So the number of animals euthanized in other parts of the country is very high. California and the northeast of America, the northeastern states, have relatively low euthanasia rates, but the south is still very high rates.
You know, we've been working on education and outreach in California for so long, outreach of, you know, spay and neuter and educating folks and voucher programs, and we've been trying to address it like that, you know, and it's worked somewhat, but I think that we'll only ever have very marginal success without having a little, without having the enforcement. Kirsten Gross, who's a director in Madera County, you know, she's told me of incidents where she goes out on calls, and let's say it's a barking dog in the backyard, or roaming, or whatever the case is, and she says, you know, your animal's unaltered, maybe it won't roam if you get it neutered. You know, here's a $20 voucher. Please go get your animal altered. You know, we have problems in Madera County. She's, you know, talks to them. And you know what? They don't do it. And she can't wait to have a tool where she can say, here's your voucher, go get your animal neutered, you know. And that is going to help greatly. You know, there is a public safety aspect to this that's very real with dog bites animals getting out and roaming and hit by cars.
And let me go talk about a little bit, because I'm talking locally here. That was something, actually, I heard letters written to the mayor of Eureka and other elected officials that the community would be non-compliant in regards to coming in and getting the rabies shots for their animals if they felt our local spay and neuter ordinance would have been implemented, that the vets would automatically become snitches and turn these people in. So they felt that, oh, it's a public safety issue because people will not get their rabies shots. Well, my response to that is that we have 60,000 feral cats. It's a guesstimate here in Humboldt County alone. And learning, cats are great. Are carriers of rabies, and my response to those people in the community: how many of those cats have rabies? So, go ahead, Judy.
Yeah, well, the incidence of rabies is, I mean, I don't know exactly, but it's very low, maybe a few occurrences a year. I am in contact with the state veterinarian, so I could get those numbers, but. You know, I mean,
it varies from community to community. We're so rural out here.
Oh, yeah, but it's so small. I mean, all these arguments, you know, that you hear, I just keep going back to, is that really a big enough issue to continue to kill 500,000 animals into our state, in our state? And if I could just talk about these numbers for a second.
Sure, go ahead,
Barbara.
Yeah.
The city and county contracted shelters report to our state veterinarian for rabies control. And over the years, they report less and less. It's mandatory to report, but there's not a penalty to report. So these are public numbers, right? So over the years, these numbers have declined because people are not reporting. And so what the opposition has done on several websites, and I'd like for people to know this, is that they've taken this raw data and they show graphs that show that euthanasia and intake of animals is down in our state. But what we did, and with Dr. Sun's permission, I asked, what he thought about this, is we extrapolated to the 61 local health jurisdictions. And in 95, 44 of these health jurisdictions reported out of 61, which is pretty pathetic, but that's what we had to work with. And we came up with over 841,000 animals total intake in the state, and about 430,000 euthanized. Now, you know, that's just an appalling numbers. And when I said to Dr. Sun, well, is this okay that we try to extrapolate to 61 to just try to get an estimate on what these numbers are? He said, yeah, but just know they're low.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be conservative because you don't have all these big cities that are within some of these jurisdictions that didn't report. So what I'd like to work on, and what I am working on in the last month, but to even go further with it, is getting as good as numbers, really digging out these numbers. Because in my heart, after talking to all these folks and hearing what I'm hearing and seeing this data, you know, I just bet we're so over a million animals coming in and
killing sure.
Probably 800,000. I mean, people question the numbers we're using, and it's like, are you kidding me? These are low. This doesn't even take into consideration these private shelters, the humane societies and the SPCAs that don't report up through the Department of Health. You know, we have no visibility to those numbers at all. And one of those SPCAs I spoke to about a month ago, she was telling me that they took in 58,000 animals and they killed 32,000 last year. Now, those aren't even on, those aren't on anybody's radar. Yeah, that was just because she's a supporter and called and said, oh my gosh, we need this so bad, and here's our situation. So I would really like to get to the bottom of just how large, but I mean, it's large enough for everybody to see that, something has to get done, and how on earth did we even get to this point without doing something sooner?
Certainly, and I agree with you, and when you look at the scientific implementation applied out there, it's hardly there. It's still forming. Animal welfare is molding. It's forming, and the way we go about assessing things we're just starting, and Judy, you're so correct in regard to the amount of the animals, the reporting, and the communication, and I see such a significant improvement over in the last few years, but we're really not there in regards to really assessing, like you said, the nonprofits, the smaller organizations, what they're doing, and other measurements, which I've talked to you about in the past. If you want to get into, we could talk about.
Yeah, I mean, I want to dig out this information because, you know, I do believe information is power. And again, I was telling you earlier, my background is in information technology. So to me, it's all about the data. You know, you learn a lot from it and the lack of it as well.
And certainly, it really behooves us when our legislation or representatives know these figures. It's you know, if you want to advocate out there, people, and do something for animals, what Judy's been doing, what I've been doing, it's this, we let our representatives know, and it reinforces what's happening and what needs to be done. And thank you so much, Judy. It's just, this is tremendous, taking on and really trying to communicate to the state and to others out there. And let's talk about, we have support, we have wonderful support, but unfortunately we have some misunderstandings out there. And why don't you talk about the groups that are exempt under this, AB 1634?
Well, the obvious ones, law enforcement and rescue dogs, guide dogs, signal dogs, bona fide breeders, and this is one that, you know, is the most controversial because every breeder feels they're a responsible breeder and, you know, that they feel like this is something that they, you know, don't need to abide by and don't want any laws like this. And then, you know, show dogs, show cats, this kind of thing. So we're very common sense, you know, some working dogs, that's one that is more challenging because you want to make exemptions for the people that, you know, these working dogs like, you know, bomb-sniffing dogs and rescue dogs. Of course you want these animals to do whatever they need to do for their job. But at the same time, you don't want to write exemptions that the entire state of California can get through and then not be spaying and neutering their animals. So with each one of these exemptions, we have to take special care to make sure that we don't create loopholes. So we're trying to do the ones, like I said, that are the most common sense and you know. But people, you know, regular folks that have been breeding that sell dogs and cats and, you know, the poodles and the Persians and whatever else, of course, you know, there's an exemption, but they have to get what's called an intact permit.
And I don't see what the problem with that is. And I'm sorry, folks, and I keep saying this over and over and over for those out in the community. You know, it's if a hairdresser can have a license, why shouldn't a breeder have a license? And why shouldn't a breeder be responsible? And I'm not going to get too much into it, but I spoke with a breeder, and it was so weird. It was like she was yelling at me and saying, it's all about money, isn't it? Money. I'm like, how can you possibly say that? How can animal rescue? We don't profit.
No, as a matter of fact, this is nothing but costing me money. I'm a volunteer, as you know, and so, you know, I pay for my plane tickets and the taxis and the time away and hotels, et cetera, and I do it because I believe so much in the cause and that, you know, I want to make change for the better for the dogs and cats of California and for all over the United States. And we'd like for this bill to be as close to perfect as possible to be able to pass on to the other states and make it a model because there are people faced with this all over. And I have been getting contacted by other states that are like, oh, you know, this is wonderful. We want to do this. We have this problem too. And it's like, we all do. So, you know, what I say to people is, hey, You know, we've got a crisis on our hands. We have to come up with a solution. You know, we're smarter. We're bigger than this. We can come up with a piece of legislation that's going to work for everybody, but maintaining status quo is not an option.
Certainly not. And it's not fair for a segment of society to affect numerous populations of beings. It's from the animals to the environment, to tax-paying citizens, to it's really unfortunate that because after the conversation with this individual, I literally had to get some, felt like I had to get pliers to remove her off of me. It was so intense. However, I had wonderful conversations with a local breeder here who I hope to get on the air soon, who completely supports the bill and totally agrees with me that there needs to be regulation. And for those of you who are breeders, think about this. If there's less animals out there and you have a product, what does that mean? That means that you can sell your animal at a higher price. We would love to see a small amount of breeders charging $20,000 for the animal. And, of course, it's a purebred, actually from Europe, and actually that's a breeder and I've talked about. She feels that all breeds, all purebreds should be coming from Europe, and she has strong feelings about current breeding implementation. So, Judy, we have some important things happening right now, and do you want to talk about what the stages are, where we're going? What would you like to see?
Yes, yes. So the absolute great news is that our first victory was in the Business and Professions Committee, and we got a 7-3 vote there. The City of Los Angeles passed a resolution to support the bill, which made them an official sponsor, actually, and that vote was 12-0 to support our bill. And the next step is the Appropriations Committee on Wednesday, on the 16th of May, and we'd like to invite all your listeners to come and support our bill and be there early. But the hearing starts at 9 a.m., and it's in room 4202 at the Capitol in Sacramento, and we'd love for you to come and support it. And then after that, which we feel very positive that we'll pass through the appropriations, and it will be an exciting moment, so please, please be there for it. The next step is the full assembly, and there is 80 members on the assembly, and we will need 41 votes. And after that, you move to the Senate. There's two committee hearings in the Senate. The first one is Business and Professions again. You go through appropriations, then you go to the full Senate, and then it goes to the governor's desk to be signed. So it's a long, long road, a very long process doing a state bill. And a lot of our supporters that have not been involved in state bills before, like, another hearing, you know, and it's like, yes. So anyhow, actually, at the full assembly, there's not any public comment, so there's not really a reason for people to go all the way up to Sacramento. They can listen online. But for this particular hearing, there is public comment. And by public comment, what I mean is that you come up to the microphone and you state your name and where you're from and whatever group maybe you might be representing, and then that you are in support of the bill. And each side gets counted, and then it goes for a vote. So there's testimony first, and the support side starts because it's our bill. And then the opposition says a few words, and then each side gets to come up to the microphone, and then after that is the vote, and then after that is the party.
Certainly looking forward to the party. And you get really cool buttons, I understand, Judy.
Oh, they're awesome. Yeah, my husband designed them the other day for us. They are so cool. So we'll have those to give out to everybody as well.
Yeah, well, thanks so much, Judy. Why don't you give the contact information again for those of you who are interested in being part of this process, saving over 1 million animals a year.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, potentially, you know, we are going to be saving a lot of animals over time. It's going to be incredible. And then if we can pass this on to other states, the implications can just be huge. And when there is no fear of running out of animals. Okay, it is www.cahealthypets.com, and that's pets with an S, cahealthypets.com. And the other one is www.ab1634.org.
And thank you so much, Judy. And
thank you, Barbara.
I look forward to seeing you and hanging and keep up that energy. And, you know, we have a mover and shaker here. So thanks, and I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, see you on the 16th.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, thank you so much, folks. We've had a great show tonight. I want to thank Andrew Rowan. I wasn't able to thank him. We've had some reception problems here. So thank you, Andrew. Thank you, Charlotte. And thanks, Judy. And for those of you out, thanks for listening. And I'll check back in next month on Animal Advocate.